Well, Ulysses, the Tampa Bay Rays' terrific run at home at the Trop continues as they down the Toronto Blue Jays 6-4 in game one of a four-game set.
Maybe tensions got a little bit too high there in the ninth, but the Rays get the W, so let's talk about that and maybe a little bit stadium saga talk. Let's do that right now.
You are Locked On Rays, your daily Tampa Bay Rays podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, my name is Kevin Weiss.
I'm Ulysses Sombrano.
And we're the host of the Locked On Rays podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making us your very first listen every day. Be sure to check out and subscribe to our YouTube channel at Locked On Rays, as well as all the other podcasting platforms. You can also find us on Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Rays and email us anytime if you want a mailbag question discussed, lockedonrays@gmail.com. We love the voice memos as well if you want to send them there. Well, as we mentioned, the Rays take down the Blue Jays by a score of 6-4. And Ulysses, as you mentioned, things get a little hairy in the ninth. I think we should probably just be resigned to the fact that whenever the bullpen is going to be involved, quirky, crazy things can happen. Your blood pressure is going to rise. You might see some gray hairs before the end of the night, but ultimately the Rays got the dub.
Yeah. I was trying to remember the last time I didn't feel confident about the Rays bullpen. I can't remember. I mean, I'm maybe Dana Eveland times, you know, any
been a
Romero.
While. The Rays have kind of been the masterminds of putting together solid, impressive bullpens. And at least through late May, that appears to not be the case.
Yeah. Again, they're always going to be acquiring new pitchers. So that's good. They're trying new things. I don't think that big name is going to come because that big name is going to cost you Manzardo, Mead, Bradley, you know, the big names, and I don't think the Rays want to part with them, and I wouldn't want to part with them either. But it does seem like if the answer is not going to be acquiring a high leverage guy, then you need to kind of solidify that middle relief bullpen to kind of not get, you know, ulcers in the eighth and ninth inning. But regardless, the victory, I want to focus on Josh Fleming. And, you know, we can talk about other guys, but I want to start at least with Josh Fleming. He came in with no expectations whatsoever. And the expectations, if anything, were not going to be, you know, fantastic. If you look at the depth chart, he didn't even crack number six in the beginning. Of course, with injuries and all that, he has gotten the ball 11 times on the mound. Only three blowups, Kevin. Mm-hmm. Only three blowups against the Nationals, where he went three innings and allowed five runs, against the Toronto Blue Jays the first time, 3 1/3, allowing two runs. And then his last blowup was against the Yankees, where he went five innings, allowing six runs. That's it, though. 11 times and only three big blowups. The rest of the time, he's given the chance, the team a chance to win, especially, like, I remember that Astros outing was around either five or six innings of scoreless baseball, six innings. So again, yesterday, six innings, two earned runs, five hits allowed, only one walk. He's given the team a chance to win, and that's all you can ask for a guy that, again, didn't even crack the depth chart at number six, man.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. Credit to Trevor Kelly and then Josh Fleming after that. I mean, if you looked at this series, this four-game set, and you say Chris Bassitt going up against an opener situation, that's probably one that the Rays may slide or may have the worst chance to come out on top, and that wasn't the case by any means. So that was huge for Fleming to get those six and for Kelly to get those two as well. And against a guy like Chris Bassitt, who entered this contest with 27 scoreless innings, and the Rays got to him. They got to him early. They put the pedal down. They were aggressive with the legs and in other avenues. And we saw too with you know, getting ahead in counts or getting to full counts. If there's one issue with Chris Bassitt, it's he has trouble putting away hitters or striking out hitters. And if you look at his career, I mean, with full counts anyways, it's like a 440 on base percentage. So the Rays certainly were deliberate and smart about how to attack and figure out Chris Bassitt. And they rolled from there. It was a team effort from Randy Arozarena to Wander Franco to Jose Siri to Luke Raley to Francisco Mejia to Isaac Paredes. It was, you know, all hands on deck, if you will.
Yeah, the offense was definitely alive yesterday. Good to see, because Chris Bassitt was coming hot before the start. I am impressed, man, about Jose Siri still coming up with the power, man. He
417 feet to center in one of the toughest parts to hit a home run on a full count, which is funny. I thought that would be the most impressive or the most eye-opening, eye-catching home run of the game. It was probably Dalton Varsho's off Littell that, you know, he hits it past the Rays tank. I'm going to ignore that for now, but Jose Siri, what he has been able to do again, it's kind of fitting that he has a big showing with KK returning in another uniform.
Yeah, no, again, so you're playing with a chip on your shoulder, right? You're a human being. Their emotions are there. And again, KK did show off his arm as well on the game too. But look, with Siri, it's very telling how much confidence he has this season. The numbers, he's already surpassing, again, like, and if this sounds like deja vu with a lot of race players, is because it is. Like, look at the schedule around, what, 40 games or so played, not even more, 35 and 14, that's what, 49 games. So they've played 49 games, and a lot of these players are already, at least home run wise, they're already there, one shy of what they did last season. Yeah. Series around 7, and he was in the 15-day IL, man. So, like, I mean, the power stroke is there for all of them, for Harold, for Taylor Walls, for Jose Siri, for Josh Lowe, for Luke Raley. I mean, Randy Arozarena, Yandy Diaz. I mean, you got to go up and down the bullpen. If anything, there's like two guys that are really not giving you power, Manuel Margot and Francisco Mejia. And guess what? That doesn't matter, because you're not expecting power from any of those two guys. So it's fantastic how leveraged he can be. And when he's a little bit wild on the swing sometimes, Jose is, but when he connects, the ball's going to go so long. And you put that together with the fact that he is one of the most dynamic base runners, not that this league has, but that the Rays have ever had on their team. The 2020 conversation is definitely real for him.
Yeah, it's amazing. I would not have guessed or put a prop bet on the fact that this late into the 2023 campaign that Jose Siri would have more home runs than stolen bases, but that's the case thus far. He has 7 homers compared to 4 stolen bases. And I'm going to bring it up again, the amazing athlete that he is, 92nd percentile in max exit velo, 99th percentile in sprint speed, 98th percentile in arm strength, 83rd percentile in outs above average. And if you look at his spray chart this season, he's got a lot of home runs to center, straightaway center, or toughest parts of the ballpark to hit a home run. So he is really a treat to see, for sure. We have more to discuss on this game and a little stadium talk. But first, we have to tell you about our new sponsor called So Rare. So Rare is a revolutionary fantasy baseball game and marketplace transforming fans into owners with officially licensed digital cards featuring players from across all 30 MLB teams. Unlike other fantasy baseball platforms, So Rare managers truly own their fantasy experience, collecting, buying, selling, and competing with player cards against global opponents to win epic rewards. Win or lose, you still own your cards, and there is no cost to play. Love that. Plus, the more you win, the more you can advance collecting increasingly powerful cards and accessing next-level competitions and rewards. So, head over to SoRare.com/LockedOn. That's spelled SORARE.com to draft your team of free player cards, set your lineup, and start competing today to win epic rewards. Again, that is SORARE.com/LockedOn to start playing today. So we mentioned Jose Siri, and we kind of tied it in with Kevin Kiermaier, but I got to be honest, it was fun and enjoyable to see KK back in the Trop, albeit in a different uniform. And I know I've made a lot of jokes and digs at KK over the years for the inability to stay healthy and thus and so forth. But I really am happy that he is found new life, seemingly, and new footing with he has that repaired hip. He's gotten his vision under control with corrective lenses and contacts. I think the sense of being wanted and a new opportunity, a new challenge, kind of drives him a little bit. So and he's got some motivation on his side on a 1 year deal that he's, you know, maybe playing for that next contract. But, you know, I am perfectly satisfied and happy with having Jose Siri in the fold for the next couple of years as opposed to KK if you're a Rays fan.
Yeah, it was great to see him, and I'm glad, you know, he did get to show off the arm, like I said earlier, and getting Franco at home. I didn't understand that that send.
Yeah,
home. I know Franco is
he was running all evening. He was trying to make something happen, which I understand. When you have a guy who has a 27 inning scoreless streak on the mound, you've got to try to. Sometimes you have to make your own breaks with your aggressiveness, and I think that was maybe one of the themes or the game plan going into it, because we saw the same thing with Randy. I mean, it was like. He's taken what would be a single by most accounts and turning that into double. And before you know it, he's on third, and then a ground ball up the middle and he's home, or he scores on an air, whatever it may be. So maybe if Brandon Lau had, I would think that you'd be able to drive the ball a little bit further, but you know, another 5-10 feet, then that would be more of a clear send there. But yeah,
it just seems like I understand.
There's a little bit of forcing the issue. I get it.
Yeah, they definitely were trying to force the issue, and it worked at times. I'm just saying, like, there's no outfielder that the Rays have more information on than Kevin Kiermaier.
Right.
So, in that, like you said, that fly ball wasn't shallow, but it wasn't deep either. Like, it was that time where if the guy has an arm, he's going to get you, no matter who's at third. I mean, maybe if it's Siri, maybe he doesn't get him.
Yeah, maybe Siri.
But that's exactly. So now they're talking like elite speed. So knowing who Kevin Kiermaier is, it just seemed like a reckless take rather than like, I can see this working out. And again, Franco made it as close as possible, right? It was challenged. Right. It stood. It wasn't even confirmed. So that just shows you that Wander can have wheels when he does turn it on.
And I feel like one of the things you've said about Kevin Kiermaier, an underrated aspect of his game defensively, is his arm strength and his arm accuracy. And something tells me that Kiermaier was waiting for that moment. He wanted to show off that arm, especially at the Trop in a different uniform. He wanted to ham it up there.
Yeah, no, 100% he wanted to. And you know what? Good for him for having that opportunity to do so. Yeah. I do.
He's
want
having
to
a great season too. I mean, he's batting .310 with an .845 OPS, 3 homers, 5 stolen bases. He's found new life again, based on the Topkin article with the vision correction, the new hip, and you're trying to play for that next contract and maybe prove that hey, I still have a little action in me at 33 years old. I'm not just a guy who's going to get injured for 80, 90 games a season.
And good for him, because you said he's playing for his next contract, so that all bodes well for him. I do want to go and talk to about another outfielder, this time a Rays outfielder. Remember how silly it was to us during the offseason when people were saying, oh, you know, I think it's time to trade Randy Arozarena. You got to trade Randy Arozarena. And we're like, that is the dumbest thing that Rays Nation could be talking about. The Rays offense is literally on his shoulders, basically. Him and Yandy, at least in 2022, when the Rays offense was mediocre, and I will tell you why it was mediocre. It was because it had a 101 WRC plus, which rated 15th in the league. Look up mediocre and look at average, and you're just facing a mirror. It's like the Spider-Man meme. So that's what we were talking about. You can't let go of this guy. And now where the offense has gone, which is another stratosphere of production where everybody is helping out, Randy Arozarena is still the top dog in production. He showed it again last night. That was what, his 10th? No, 11th. So he's leading the team with Josh Lowe with 11 bombs. Unreal what Randy Arozarena is doing and the pitches he's doing it to, and the fact that he can go opposite field with that much power. I cannot overstate how much he is needed in the lineup, how much his energy is good for the team and for the fandom. So
yeah.
Those people that were talking that were just ridiculous about trading Randy Arozarena, I hope that is gone because, dude, he is just such an electric player, and he's showing that off even more so. And, you know, I went to Randy Land on Friday evening last week. It's so worth
the vibe,
it.
Yeah.
It's so good. It turns him into this other type of player. Like, you know, he's interacting with the crowd, the whole Randy chants get him going. And it happened last night, even if it was in Randy Land, and even that it was only 8,800 people in attendance, which is the lowest attendance of the year. Randy chants started going, Randy, Randy, what happens? Boom, bomb. Yeah. The guy is an emotional player. He needs to feel like the spotlight is on him, right? Like that things matter.
And you'd rather have that than the opposite, where guys kind of foil in a big moment. So, hey, let's continue the Randy lane. I think that was one of the ingenious ideas by the Rays or Neil Solon, whoever drummed it up and actually put it all together, because that creates a different environment and really sparks the trop and makes it lively. And Randy eats it all up. So whether you agree or disagree with some of his activities and antics with the crossing of the arms and shoulders after a home run, or always asking for an instant replay check when he's, you know, diving into second, or, you know, whether he thinks he's safe when he might be out, whatever it may be, he brings a level of intrigue to the Rays that the national media is starting to spotlight. And of course the whole connection with Mexico and the World Baseball Classic. But I'm glad you brought up his ability to take breaking balls or off speed the other way for home runs, of course, but even sometimes, hey, it's a breaking ball down and in, and do inside out the bat and just smack it the other way for a base hit.
Yes.
I think he's really seemingly growing as a hitter and a versatile player all around. And it's really, really impressive to see. So I do not see him being traded in the near future, because he is quickly, we know what he did in the World Series in 2020, but everything that is surrounding him this season, it's really elevating him to superstar status. And just like Kevin Kiermaier with the motivation for that next payday, I think Randy, because he sees those first millions coming in, it's like, There could be a lot more that's coming. So let me hunker down and let me look at scouting reports.
Yes.
And let me prepare every day. And let me prove that I'm deserving of a big contract, or I'm deserving of a team to really invest in me, because I'm going to put the work in. I'm going to do the best I can to be the best player I can, that I'm not just going to wake up every day and rely on my talent. I'm going to be more cerebral about the game, and you see the effects of that.
Yeah. And you know what, that sometimes takes a little bit more time, and you know, he's a young guy. I know he's not the youngest, of course he's not, but he's still young, and at least young in the league. And so it takes a couple years to just really understand what type of preparation you need to do physically, mentally, emotionally before a game. The grind of 162 games, it will take time. Just like any job, you need to kind of get your feet under you. And well, now he understands, hey, maybe I don't just go hacking up there. Maybe I do need to read scouting reports and at least know what the guy's pitching. I might not need to know, oh, what he does at 2-2, 1-2, 0-3, you know, all the counts. I don't need to know the horizontal or vertical break, you know. Just the bare minimum of what does he throw and what does he throw the most.
Yes.
That can really help him out. And it's shown.
Yeah. And I think that pretty much everybody else on the roster and the lineup being successful or contributing makes his job easier. Him being successful makes other guys easier. It's like a Ponzi scheme of good lineups. I don't know how to explain it, but everybody else is, you know, a rising tide lifts all boats is the cliche to put together. And, and that was a great point you made about, hey, got to give guys time to understand their routine and figure out what works for them. Same thing with Wander Franco, same thing with Taylor Walls, same thing with so many other players, because this is the Rays where they're calling up rookies, they're calling up young players, and it's going to, there, one thing that we've been told is there's never been a larger disparity in talent, in ability, in adjustment from AAA to the majors. So it might take that Curtis Meade or that Kyle Manzardo or that whoever 300, 400, 500, 600, 700 at-bats to really find themselves, if you will.
And unfortunately, the fandom sometimes doesn't have the patience, and after seeing 100 at-bats, they're like, cut this guy, DFA this guy, don't want to ever see him. But that's really not how.
Let's do that with your job. You know, your first couple weeks on the job, see how well you get it and understand it and are competent and, you know, have things running like a fine old machine.
You're going to get people angry, man. You're going to get people angry in the comments, be like, how dare you say that to me, Kevin? But no, really, you have to be patient with people. And, you know, especially the Rays are going to have young players. So you're going to have to be a little bit even more conscientious of that. And if you want to be conscientious of where you get your tickets, guess what? You got to download Game Time. You got to download it right now. It is the fastest growing ticketing app in the country for a reason. Guess what? Before you even buy the tickets, you get images of the seats that you are interested in, so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive at that basketball game, at that baseball game, at that concert, comedy, theater, whatever it is that you're buying tickets for. And you can do it in a matter of seconds. Two taps and you're set. Tickets are sent directly to your phone and you never have to dig through your email. So you can snag those tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code LOCKEDONMLB for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code LOCKEDONMLB for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Maybe Game Time doesn't have this, but you know, if you get a little microwavable popcorn going, you get tickets, and then you sit down and just watch a whole 12-hour documentary on the stadium saga.
Oh yeah,
are people watching that? You think?
I think people would eat it all up, because as much as people complain about the stadium debate and the stadium saga and everything that has gone on since, I don't know, 2008, you know, the last 15 plus years or so, people will still keep calling, keep commenting, and keep being intrigued by it one way or the other. What I've learned is that whenever sports talk radio talks about or brings up the, it's like an evergreen. Whenever they bring up the Rays stadium issue, a flood of calls, like they have no issue getting calls. So there's obviously a contingent that is always going to be triggered one way or the other by it.
So, are you saying that we're going to get a flooding of comments on this video on YouTube saying blah, blah on the stadium saga, you think?
Depends on how you label it and put the description in. All I know is that I didn't pay too much mind or attention to the report that Ken Rosenthal drummed up for the Athletics, that potential buyers for the Rays have emerged and prospective owners would like to move the franchise out of Florida. And then we also learned that one potential local buyer is Dan Doyle, who is the CEO of Dex Imaging, which actually as long as they've been a sponsor of the Rays, I really didn't have an understanding of what Dex Imaging did or provide, but now I do. And looking that up, copiers, printers, all that stuff. And then I guess Stu Sternberg and the team had to respond that he has no eyes or iterations on selling the Rays. So I don't know what to make of this story, quite frankly. I don't even know if I care at this point. As long as I don't care who the owner is, I'm getting to that point. As long as the Rays are playing in the Tampa Bay area, I've even moved on from the fact of they're probably going to wind up in St. Petersburg. And you know what? I'm okay with that after all that the fan base has gone through with the split city scenario and all that.
Besides the news of, you know, Dan Doyle and Dex Imaging, which, you know, as a fan, I was like, oh, that's a new tidbit. That's a new little piece of information nugget that has never been shared with Rays fandom. Besides that point, it was this. And if you're on YouTube, you can see what I'm doing.
You're holding a burger? I don't know.
I'm holding a nothing burger.
Oh, okay. Nothing burger. Yeah, there we go.
It was a nothing burger. It was nothing. It's the same tired, you know, machine.
I mean, who, what billionaire wouldn't want to buy a pro sports team?
Exactly. And oh, wait. And again, if you are an OG listener, you know that we have we had David Sampson on this show, and we talked extensively about stadium issues, especially because he went through them with the Miami Marlins / Florida Marlins. There's no way that you are going to be selling your team before you're going to get an influx of value when you get a new stadium so close. That would be like one of the worst business decisions ever. And I think we can all agree that Stu Sternberg does good business.
Right.
Okay. So that's out of here. Get that new buyer out of here.
So are you saying that, in what I've learned from John Romano with the Times, is that Dan Doyle theoretically could buy some minority shares of the Rays to help privately finance a new stadium, which I understand, you know, if Stu Sternberg over the years has bought up a very healthy stake of the franchise, if he wants to sell, like, I don't know, 10% of the team. Okay. I mean, great, huge news. But I didn't know if you were going in the direction of this was a ploy by the Rays and Major League Baseball to try to get more public financing for a ballpark in the Tampa Bay area. Of, hey, somebody else could swoop in, take the team, and then move it to Nashville or move it to Charlotte or move it to wherever.
Does it hurt? Does it not put a little bit of pressure, even if it wasn't the main objective, to get Tampa and St. Pete to be like, okay, guys, remember we could lose this, and this would look very bad on us, and we would lose jobs. Like, it's a win-win, really, for this story to leak out. If Dan Doyle buys the minority shares, like you're saying, from Stu.
Mayor more money privately. Shaking in his boots at this news. He's like, oh my God, we got to get... Let's back up the Brinks truck. Do whatever we can to keep the Rays in Tampa Bay, or keep the Rays in St. Petersburg, I should say.
That's what they want. That's what, you know, the Rays would like, you know, a little bit more action maybe from the Tampa side. I think the St. Pete side is probably more further along the talks from what we've heard than Tampa. Obviously, Tampa is best case scenario. I agree with you, though. It seems like with the financing and the talks being so advanced with St. Pete and the whole Heinz project, it looks like the stadium is going to be there. And look, when you're talking relocation and all that stuff, I think it can get a little bit too high pressure, and you're just going to just want to have the team in the Tampa Bay area. So again, overall, just to summarize this whole thing, it was a nothing burger. Nothing really to get super enthused or excited or depressed about. It really was, you know, BAU, business as usual. The only thing that was new was Doyle and Dex Imaging,
which I think would be a good thing. I mean, it you've got a local guy who has a lot of investment and interest in the team. I think it would be a solid partnership between him and Sternberg. And if there's people saying, oh my, you know, I know there's Stu Sternberg has a lot of haters, but at the end of the day, it all starts at the top, and he has brought a winning model organization to baseball and to the Tampa Bay area that I don't know, 99.5% of other sports fans and organizations would envy based on the winning track record with the amount of resources that he's every team is trying to figure out what the Rays do and what the Rays model is and how they are successful on their shoestring budget and how they do things differently and how they do things successfully. So I'll just leave it at that. Now, quick question here. Fast forward 2028, Ulysses, the Rays are playing A in St. Petersburg, B in Tampa, C Orlando, D Charlotte, E Nashville, F somewhere other than those cities I named.
If this was a pie chart, it's made up of two colors. And one color is like 80%, which is St. Pete. The other 20% is Tampa. And then the other ones, you can just laugh your way out of the pie chart. The Orlando thing is not happening. Nashville, Portland, like there's no way that you would relocate. If you're already relocating the Oakland Athletics, you're not losing another established market if you're MLB. So the other options are, I think they're ridiculous at this point. It really does seem like St. Pete is going to be the home of the Rays, unless something drastic and major happens with Tampa, which hopefully does, because again, I think that would be just the best case scenario for this team and for this fandom is to have the team where people live and not where Dolphins live. That would be great. But again, I think right now it's an 80-20 that it stays in St. Pete.
So you don't think they're moving to Zephyr Hills? That's what
I unfortunately for you and the cows, I don't think they're going to Zephyr Hills. No.
In the water as well.
In the water. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you could just skydive in and, watch the game that way. So, so there it is. Glad we didn't have to make a full episode on that. If you have a hot take or a comment about the stadium issue or there's an angle that we didn't touch in this 8-minute segment, comment on the YouTube channel or send us an email or voice memo expressing your thoughts and viewpoints, and we might get to it. We might have more stadium talk. If you bring up a interesting point or observation that we have not considered with this, because I mean, I'm not ready to burn my house down and, you know, go about this.
Wait, last thing I know, because we're running long. Yeah. If you're an architect, civil engineer, lawyer, anything that would kind of give a little bit more in-depth discourse to the stadium saga, please send us a voice memo.
Yeah, please that do. Would be nice. Yeah. Very much appreciated. All right. Thank you for making the Locked On Rays podcast your very first listen every day. Now make your second listen, the Locked On Rays podcast. Listen to us. Keep listening to us. All joking aside, did a crossover with the Locked On Blue Jays host, Craig Ballard. That's been a revolving door. He had like six hosts in the last 3 years, but he's a good guy. If you want to check out the Blue Jays perspective on the Rays series, you can go listen to him as well. In the meantime, hope you all have a wonderful day. Stay safe, and we will talk to you tomorrow.